I'm glad you're here. The Lord's glad you're here. Deception. That's a big word in itself, huh? Deception. Have you ever been deceived by anybody or anything? Probably so. Once or twice, three or four times, maybe more. Deception. It's a key component to your enemy. You have an enemy today. I hate to tell you that. And it is the devil himself or Satan, whatever name you want to put with him. But you have an enemy of your soul. You also have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. You have a God who's in control of things no matter what the world looks like. Good times, bad times, God is still on the throne. But there is this enemy of our soul, the devil. And he's got to be dealt with in my life, your life, in the world. And one of his key components to what he does is deception. We've been hearing the last few weeks about storms of life. Why do they come? And we didn't have all the answers to that. We had some. And what do we do in the storm of life? How do we handle it? And we've heard about that. We heard about being doers of the word, not just reading it, not just showing up on a pew in our Sunday school class, but being doers of the word. What it says, we carry it out, we apply it, be doers of the word. Heard a little bit about producing fruit, that he saved us by his blood, the Lord Jesus did. He wants us to produce fruit. He wants us to be active in the kingdom of God, doing the things that he would call us to do. So, are you doing the word? Are we doing the word? Are we producing fruit in kingdom work? A good question. Here's a little story for you. A defendant was on trial for murder in Oklahoma. There was a very strong evidence indicating guilt, but there was no corpse. In the defense's closing statements, the lawyer, knowing that his client would probably be convicted, resorted to a trick. "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have a surprise for you all," the lawyer said as he looked at his watch. "Within 1 minute, the person presumed dead in this case will walk into this courtroom." He looked toward the courtroom door. The jurors, somewhat stunned, all looked on. A minute passed and nothing happened. Finally, the lawyer said, "Actually, I made up the previous statement, but you all looked on with anticipation. I therefore put it to you that there is reasonable doubt in this case as to whether anyone was killed, and insist that you return a verdict of not guilty." The jury, clearly confused, retired to deliberate. A few minutes later, the jury returned and pronounced the verdict of guilty. "But how?" asked the lawyer. "You must have had some doubt. I saw all of you stare at the door." And the foreman replied, "Oh, we did look, but your client did not." Did you get anything out of that? I got a little bit out of it, not as much as I was hoping for, just to be honest. Deception. Being deceived. All kinds of scriptures in the Bible about deception or being deceived. We'll start with riches. Look at 1 Timothy 6 on the screen. "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Richly provides us for things for our enjoyment. Nothing wrong with the riches themselves, but it would be some deception of those riches. So Satan has things that he has in store for us, just like the Lord does. The Lord has things in store that are good and pure and holy and righteous and will help us to achieve becoming like Jesus Christ, our eternal destination in a place called heaven. The enemy of our soul, you know this, but I remind you of it today, and I'm not. This is not a fear sermon, this is not a whatever you might want to label it, but it is a simple truth that the devil despises you if you're a Christian. It's just that simple. And we can't just brush him off as a little guy in a red suit on a potted meat can or whatever that we used to see. He's real. Now, his power, does he have power? Yes, but it is limited. You got to remember that. But he is still to be dealt with. Now, the next slide, we're going to repeat this. If Satan can't deceive me, he can't defeat me. Let's try that on three. One, two, three. If Satan can't deceive me, he can't defeat me. One more time. If Satan can't deceive me, he can't defeat me. That makes a lot of sense to me, because he is the deceiver. He is called the father of lies, and he deceives people all the time. And you say, well, you know, I'm too strong in the Lord to be deceived. You're already deceived. I'm too holy. I've got this down. He can never deceive me. Yes, he can. Even the elect he has got in their lives, and they've fallen. Scripture says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. Choose life. God is telling us we have choices to make in this earth, this world. You know that. You make choices every day. You chose to get out of the bed and come to the house of the Lord today. Just look around you. A lot of people chose not to. They may have a reason. They may be sick. They may be whatever. But a lot of people didn't show up today. Now, I'm not here condemning them and saying all of them's going to hell, but I am saying the possibility that they were deceived, that the house of God was not important enough today, that Sunday school was not important enough to get up and come to today. You say, well, preacher, are you being picky? Are you being whatever? I don't know all that I am. But I know that the devil will deceive people any way that he can. And he's a scumbucket from hell. Now, that don't sound real nice this morning. But he is. And he hates Christians. And don't think you've got it together so much that he cannot come against you. Because he can. All of us. So, the warning that he does have power, yes, but he does not have ultimate power. God does, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I resisted. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to just resist that old devil and he'll flee. Now, that sounds like scripture, and it is to a degree. But the first part of that is submit yourself to who? To God. And then, you know, then that old devil will flee. We've got to submit ourselves to God, then resist him. And he'll flee. And we do that through the blood of Jesus Christ, not your own power, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're studying Hebrews, and we went over that last Wednesday, and it's got all these things we could get on rabbit trails with, but the blood of Jesus Christ is still so important. And we can't take it out of the songs. We can't take it out of the Bible. We can't get rid of it, because there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's still part of it. And without the blood of Christ being shed, there is no remission for sin. We must know that our power comes through Christ, through his blood, in the name of Almighty God. So we have choices to make. Who would choose death? Who would choose destruction if they're in their right mind, we would say? Who would choose that? Well, we don't want them to choose that. But a person who is deceived, a person that the devil really gets a hold of, is deceived by this father of lies. He wasn't called the father of destruction. He is called the father of lies. And he has power, but he does not have the ultimate power, and he can be defeated. And if you looked around our world today, you take a survey, and a lot of people are taking all sorts of surveys, and I read some of them, and I think, why is the enemy winning so much? And different things you read. Well, I don't know all the answers, But I know that he does not have to win. And I know that he does not win in the end. He knows he's defeated, and we need to remind him of that. Revelation 20 on the screen, 1 through 3, says, I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. And locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore. To keep him from deceiving the nations, the states, the individual people, families, and however, to keep him from deceiving. So what's it mean to deceive someone? Here's one definition. To deceive someone is to convince him of the truth of something that is untrue. Wow. You're not going to choose death. You're not going to choose destruction, surely, over life and blessing, are you? God says, I'm going to give you that choice. How much emphasis should we put on the choices we make in this life? To me, I think we should put a great deal on it. Because God said, I'm going to allow you the freedom to choose. I'm going to allow this group of people right here this morning to choose life and blessing or destruction and curse. It's up to you to choose that. God's not saying, okay, boom, okay, death, boom, destruction, okay, I guess you get life. He's done all he can do. The great plan of salvation, the cross, the resurrection, it's all been played out for us. Jesus gave his life. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross that if I'll put my faith in him, I can be born again, I can be saved, I can be redeemed, and I can have a home in heaven. He will live within me. I have the power of the cross, the power of the blood of Jesus living in me, and I am his child. And he says, now you make some choices. Gave you a brain. Some days it don't work just right, but he gave me a brain. And he says, now what about these choices? I'm giving you the freedom to choose. So what are we choosing? What are we choosing? Are we choosing the better things? I pray that we are. And a lot of life is determined on the choices we make. Mama's fault, daddy's fault, the preacher's fault, the teacher's fault, the principal's fault, who's ever's fault. I know some of that happens sometimes, but what about me? What about the choices I make? Has a lot to do with life. Has a lot to do with blessing and cursing. Has a lot to do with the outcome of life. We need to make great choices based upon the word of the living God. And any choice, hear me now, any choice that goes against God's word is a bad choice. Amen? Any choice that it goes against God's word is a bad choice. So, we need to know the Word of God. One of the deceptions of the devil. Well, the Word, you know, it might be a good book. Jesus might have been a good teacher, but the Word of God's just, it's just another book. It's just some suggestions. It's not absolute truth. And I submit to you, the Word of God is absolutely the truth. And we need to be basing what we do on it. That lie from hell, that deception, that deceiver, the devil himself, is running through our world like crazy, deceiving people that the Word of God is not really absolute truth. And people buy into it of all ages, but especially in colleges and universities. We need to revamp our university system. It's just that simple. And if you can't teach some things that our own nation was founded on, you might need to go teach someplace else. Because the devil is having a field day in our own universities. that was free. And I know to stop before I go any further. All right. Satan's a liar. He's good at it. And you say, oh, I know that. So what about these deceptions? The farmer, he is way back in the woods, and he decided after years and years of cutting down trees the old-fashioned way, he's going to get him one of them chainsaws. So there's a logger came by, and the logger said, I guarantee you, you can cut down 15 trees a day if you'll use this thing. The farmer said, all right, he bought it. He come back to the logger, and he said, something's wrong with this thing. He said, I'm not averaging but 3 trees a day. The logger grabbed the chainsaw, cranked that thing, whoom, whoom, whoom. The farmer said, wait, hey, what's that noise? He just didn't get it. Sometimes we just don't get it. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we just don't get it. Ephesians 6 on the screen, 11 through 18. You've heard it many times. It's so important. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Put on the full armor of God. Put on that full armor of God, he tells us, and how we need it on, how we need to make sure that it's on. The armor of God. Read it. Put it on. It enables us to stand, to take a stand against the devil's schemes. The devil is the deceiver. Even he even tries to get some folks who will buy into it to believe that there is not even a devil. That's kind of weird. There's not a devil. You know, well, yes, there is. The Bible tells us that there is. And it says here, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we've got to be reminded of that pretty often. Because it's not just your spouse, your husband, your wife. It's not just your boss. It's not just whatever you want to put in the blank. It is a very large, big picture that we're living in here. And it's not just wrestling against flesh and blood. Satan is trying to deceive us and think that everything is somebody else. Well, everything's not somebody else. We've got to look at ourselves. If you don't buy into this, there is not a devil, and there is a devil, oftentimes a deception will be you can't beat him. You can't beat the devil. He's got too much power. Listen, he can be beaten. He is defeated already. But a lot of people will buy in that he's got too much power. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober or sound-minded, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The thing about the enemy, when you're down, when you've had a bad day, when things are going wrong, when you have some doubt, when you have questions about life, about death, about whatever's happening and circumstances around you, here comes the devil marching strong at that time. You get diagnosed with a disease or something. Here he comes like a big roaring lion, and he's overemphasizing the disease and everything else. You say, well, maybe you've never been diagnosed with cancer. I haven't, and I thank God for that. But even if there is still a God who saved me, that I belong to, and no matter that circumstance, that God's still God. But a disease comes, and here he comes roaring. A financial difficulty comes, and you're down and out about it. Here the devil comes roaring like a big lion, trying to make a bigger deal out of it than it is. You got a rough spot in your marriage. Here he comes roaring like the deceiver that he is, like a lion in any kind of trouble. And why does he do that? Why does a lion roar at his prey? I don't know all the reasons, but one of them is fear. To make you just be paralyzed with fear. Listen, God is above that fear. The Lord Jesus died for you, and he died for me. There is hope, and we don't have to live in fear. But we can live with a spirit of power and love and a sound mind in all of life. Well, we already talked about another deception. The Bible's not really true. It's just a good book or what have you. Stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, the Bible says. The truth will set you free. The Bible says if you'll continue in my word, you'll be my disciples. And if you know the truth will set you free. So how am I going to know the truth? Just listen to everything the preacher says. Well, I hope you listen to what the preacher says, but you better be in what is absolute truth, and that's the Word of the living God. Amen? You better get in the Word, because it's going to tell you the absolute truth, how to live and who you are in the Lord. You are His child. You are His heir. You are God's child. If you're born again, you realize that? Well, yeah, I know that. Sounds good, but do you practice it? No matter what life may be throwing at you, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus, I'm here to tell you it's going to work out. It's going to be okay. Well, I'll never get hurt again. That's not true. I'll never have a problem again. That's not true. Because life's going to go on. You're going to have ups and downs. But I am a child of the King because of Him, because He saved me. And you are too. And no matter what happens in this world, God has got it. God has got it. And I'm going to continue in His Word. I'm going to be His disciple. I'm going to look at His truth. And that truth will set me free in all circumstances of life. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for. So it says the Word is true. And here's another deception. Might be the last one of the day. Might not. Deception. How many times have I said it? How many times have you said it? I'm just not worthy. Now, I agree now. Listen, Ron Leonard in himself is not worthy. In sin, born in sin, lived in sin. But one day, I got saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. One day, this blood of Christ was applied to my life. And that day, I became worthy. Not because of me, not because I had anything to do with it, but asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me of sin and become His child. And at that point in time, when the blood of Christ covered me, I became worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that this morning? Do you understand that? We're not saying we're on an ego trip. We're not saying, oh, look how holy I am even. We're not saying that, but we're saying through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are worthy to receive the blessings that Almighty God in His Word has promised to His children. Now, if you need to hear that. Whoever you are, whoever we are this morning, and you say, oh, I feel so unworthy, join the club. I know what, I've got that in my thought pattern. But through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, He has made you worthy. Now praise Him, thank Him, adore Him, live for Him, and know that it comes through Him and that you're worthy because of Him, and live for Him. Give Him everything you have, heart, soul, mind, body, all that your earthly possessions, and say, Lord, I am yours, this is yours, and thank you for helping me to be worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't mean that anything I've done makes me worthy. Doesn't mean that, you know, however high up on the social ladder, however low on the social ladder, and on we go. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're worthy. You're worthy. And Satan tries to tell you you're not worthy. I guarantee you. He'll bring up everything he can think of that you've done. Well, you remember when? And your mind will go back to when you said whatever. What action he brings up, your mind will go back to it. Friends, it's either covered under the blood or it's not. Now, which is it? It's covered under the blood of Christ. He has forgiven you. You are His child. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we are His children. And He says, I have made you worthy to receive the Word, to receive the blessings and promises of the Word of God. If He can make you feel, the enemy can make you feel condemned and guilty all the time, you just won't live to your full potential. So take hold. Strive. Make up your mind. I'm going to live a holy life in this present world by the power of God, by the blood of Christ, by the power of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do this with His help. I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord. You don't have to go around with your head down. You're forgiven. Well, how about one more deception? We've got plenty of time. You're just too busy to work for the Lord. You're just too busy to work for the Lord. He's deceiving people and churches throughout our land. You're just too busy. And your busyness don't allow you to, and here we can call them down the list, you know, too busy for Sunday school, I'm too busy for small groups, I'm too busy to come to church, I'm too busy to, I'm too busy to really go out and witness to anybody. You know, I'm just busy. And some of you are very, very busy. I'm a little busy at times myself, whether you believe it or not. But the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, has said through His Word, which is absolute truth, I want you to go bear fruit. I want you to be involved in the process here. I saved you. I shed my blood for you. And listen, you're not too busy to work in the kingdom. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too busy. And He expects all of us to do what we can. I don't know how many saints right here in this church, and a lot of them's moved on to glory, and we've had a funeral, we've been out in the cemetery, have said later in life, I just can't do what I used to do. And my response is, I know you can't do all that you used to do, but can you just pray? Can you just pray for me? Can you just pray for the church and they'd smile real big and say, yeah, I can still do that. How important it is that you do it. Nobody's saying you, when you're 80, you're supposed to act like you're 20. But we all have something to offer. We all have something to do. You're not too busy to work for the Lord. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it says. God's plan is that we be promoting the gospel, promoting what the peace of God is, and spreading His word. Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe, you know, whatever. Your way, my way, we'll all get to heaven for good people. It's a deception. It does matter what you believe. Satan knows what you believe will affect your decisions. Back to choices again. What will I choose to do this week? What choices will I make in the remainder of this day? What I believe affects the choices and decisions that I make. And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows that full well. Why do you think in our own country that people are believing so many lies? They've been deceived by the enemy himself because what you believe affects your decisions and your choices. If I believe there's one way to get to heaven and it's through Jesus Christ the Lord, I will tell people that. I will make a decision to tell people that. If I believe that He said that I was supposed to live for Him and here's what the Word of God says, what kind of husband I'm supposed to be and a parent, this is the kind of employee I'm supposed to be, this is the kind of person I'm to be, if I believe that, that affects the way I live and my choices. And if He can get us all mixed up in that area, oh, it matters. Your thoughts matter. Your speech matters. The way we live matters. And staying free from deception, staying free from deception of the enemy, helps us live a victorious life. And you say, well, what are you saying, preacher? You think all of us are just simply deceived by the devil? I don't think that everybody's deceived all the time, but I think sometimes we can have the mindset or we just don't pay attention enough as human beings to know that we can be deceived. And since there is an enemy of our soul who is trying to destroy us and have us to spend eternity in hell, we need to pay attention. And we need to pay attention to God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for leadership in the day and time that we live. If Satan can't deceive me, he can't defeat me. You understand that this morning? If Satan can't deceive me, he can't defeat me. Would you stand with me? I would ask us all to evaluate our hearts and our life. I would ask us all to think about the choices that we're making. I would ask us all to say, Lord, here I am. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're not saved by the blood of Jesus, He loves you. If you'll ask for forgiveness of sin, He'll forgive you. If you're here and you're thinking, well, you know, this area over here, I don't know about this area of my life. I'm here to tell you God knows about it and God loves you. And He'll help you with that area of life. If you would be so brave, not to me, but to the Lord Himself. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you and say, this area of life you've been deceived in. You don't have to confess that to me, but you could come right here to this altar of prayer and you could confess that to the Lord and say, hey, I've been deceived in this area. I need some help, Lord, in this area, and I believe with everything within me, He'll help you. If I can pray with you today, I'll be glad to right over here on this side. Father in heaven, as we stand in Your presence again this day, how thankful we are for the Word of God. How thankful we are for salvation. How thankful we are for You, Lord Jesus, that You truly died on Calvary's cross. You arose victorious over hell, death, and the grave. and you are seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. How thankful we are for the victory in Jesus. And yet, Lord, you have told us in your word that there is a deceiver, there is a devil, he is the father of lies. And here we are trying to live for you. Here we are going through life. And yes, Lord, you know we have ups and we have downs. We have circumstances and situations that change from season to season. But I say thanks be unto God that there is one thing that never changes, and that is you. And we thank you and praise you. Now, Lord, help us to see ourselves clearly. Help us, Lord, to see what we need to do today. And what we need to ask of you to help us live this life, to produce fruit, to be doers of the word, to stand strong in the storm, and be the children of Almighty God. Now have your way with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.